If you're able, please stand for the reading of the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Let us hear this word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Had a pretty cool. Have you ever been out in the countryside away from the city lights and looked up at the sky? If you've ever done that, raise your hand. Okay. If you haven't done it, you need to do it. Get out away from the city. Get away from the lights. Get out in the countryside on a nice evening and look at the stars. Just amazing. Back in Jesus' day, they didn't have all the bright city lights, right? So how did these magi, they saw a star rise up into the sky. And then they followed that star. Can you imagine following one star? I don't know what kind of instruments they had. But they kept following it until it stopped over the house where Jesus was. Over the house, get it? We have the nativity scenes with the Magi at the stable, and that's not how it happened, you know. They didn't come to find Jesus till he was almost 2 years old, living in a house. That's why Herod murdered all the kids, all the boys, 2 years and younger, trying to scoop up Jesus in that mass murder. But they followed a star. You know, they said in Matthew 2:2, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." It's a tradition that they had in that day that any new star means that somebody of great significance was born in the world, some royalty, some king, somebody with power. And so this new star comes up, and they search the scriptures and all the holy writings of all the people that they could find. And they read about Jesus. They read about somebody being born in Bethlehem of Judea, and they follow the star. His star, light in a dark sky. They certainly didn't follow it during the day, but they followed it at night. And it led them to where Jesus was. Have you ever stood under a star? How do you know you're standing under a star? How do you know that it points at a house of all things? Pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing. Jesus had his own star that moved and then stopped over where he lived. In John chapter 1, verse 45, it says, "In him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 9 says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." The true light. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." I love that verse, part of so much at Christmas. I got to confess, though, that, you know, when I read this stuff, and I've been reading the Word of God since, I was a boy, but I used to always think when it talked about Jesus being the light of the world, I thought about this kind of light right here. You know, bright lights, flashlight, this light here. I thought about this being, this is Jesus right there, the Word of God, you know. Yep, the light of the world. People living in darkness. I thought of them living in darkness. I thought of them living in some place like up in Alaska when it was during a dark time of the year. A physical light, a physical darkness. And then I learned that that's not what it was at all. It's not what it was at all. In John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Help me out here. Close your eyes. Close your eyes real tight. Dark, isn't it? Keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed and listen to the sound of my voice. Put all your money in the offering plate. Okay, open your eyes. That's a physical darkness. It's not at all what Jesus was talking about. Jesus is the light of the world. And do you know that there is no such thing as darkness? You've heard this explanation before, right? There is no such thing as darkness. You're going, what? What's he talking about? Yeah. I can't give you darkness. And the only way to show you darkness is to take away the light. See, darkness is a term that we use to describe the absence of light. I can give you light. Sure, there's light here, there's light there, a flashlight, a match. I can give you light. And I can give you more and more lights till it gets really bright. And I got to tell you, the older I get, the more I need the light to read by. But there's no such thing as darkness. And that's why darkness cannot overcome light. But again, I'm talking physical. Or am I? John 3:19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. When we're talking about the light of Christ, we are talking about righteousness. We're talking about perfection. We're talking about God and accountability. And in Jesus' presence, sin shows up. It rears its ugly head like never before. It's like making a comparison between two people. If we compare two people who are really different, let's see, like me and Superman. No, that won't work. No. Like Charles Manson and Billy Graham. There's Billy Graham, a man of God, righteous and holy, and there's Charles Manson, an evil man, murderous man, sinful man. If you were to put the two side by side, Charles Manson would really look bad compared to Billy Graham. Compare what they've done to each other. Well, that's why people hate the light, because their deeds, their evil that they do, the bad, selfish things that they do, when compared to the light of Jesus, really look bad, and they feel convicted. They feel disgusted, and everybody else sees it. They can see the truth, because the light of Jesus is truth. Jesus is the light of the world. So in John 9, 1 to 12, Jesus heals a man born blind. And in verse 4, Jesus says, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." This is Jesus saying this. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And Jesus is not talking about dawn to dusk. Jesus is not talking about daylight hours, doing your work then, because night is coming when no one can work. We know that's not true because people work all during the night. But what Jesus is talking about, when it is day, when there is righteousness and truth and the Spirit of God in the world, that's when we have to do ministry. That's when we have to seek souls and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's when we've got to work our fingers to bone, because he says there's a night that is coming, a darkness that is coming. And the only darkness that's coming that we know about is when there's an absence of light, an absence of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that God's Spirit will be drawn back for a time, and many will perish. There'll be a persecution like you've never seen before. And for the sake of the elect, the Spirit will be back. But there's a dark time coming, and I want to tell you, if you don't think we're headed for that right now, you better take a good look around. This world is really, as I so often say, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Christianity is being strangled. The truth is being buried. There's no discipline. There's no accountability. There are no lines being drawn in the sand. If it feels good, do it. And don't tell me what I can and can't do. I can do whatever I darn well please. That's the world we live in today. Anything goes. But when the light comes in, people's evil deeds look really bad. It's shown up for what they are. And as Christians, you and I are bearers of the light. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world," Jesus said. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." In the same way, the Bible says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So you and I need to go into the dark areas of the world, the dark areas of our own lives, the dark areas of our co-workers' lives, our neighbors' lives, our brothers' and sisters' lives, and we need to let the light of Jesus Christ shine. Because we now are the light of the world, bearers of the light of Christ. Because there's a time coming when it'll be dark and we won't be able to do that. So for 2019, be bold in your faith. Look for those places in other people's lives, your neighbors, co-workers, family, friends that are dark, and just go in and love them love them and help them. By doing that, the light of Jesus will shine. And just maybe you'll chase away the darkness. Maybe they'll want what you have. I hope 2019 is a great year for all of us, that we are all bearers of the light of Christ to our hurting world. God loves you, and so do I.